Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show, and this is our 1 year anniversary, and I am here with Mike Prime, Mike Blaze, and Danny Danger. Fellas, how are you doing this evening?
Woo! 1 year!
Patrick, wasn't it you and Blaze on the first episode?
Indeed, it was I and Blaze, actually.
What did you guys talk about on that episode?
You know, I have no remembrance of this.
Patrick, why don't you take us back, man? I mean, when did you have the idea for the show? What made you want to do this? I mean, what was it? What was going on a year ago that you were like, this sounds like a good idea?
Well, I've always wanted to talk to people about wrestling, and it got to me in the summer where I was like, okay, I'm talking about wrestling once a month when we watch these shows, and I actually want to do it more. So I said, hey, I want to start a podcast. And I talked to a couple people. At the same time, I was talking to Blaze about it. And, you know, and when it came to like, okay, well, you know, I said, I'm going to start a podcast. And, you know, in September of last year, bought some equipment, kind of did my research, found a podcast, you know, hosting site. And I said, hey, Mike, let's get together and record a show tonight. And that was our first episode. And that's how this was created. The name, Fans of Wrestling, you know, was, I don't think it was the first name. I don't remember what the first original name was going to be. But we thought, hey, Fans of Wrestling sounds cool because that's what we are. And Fans of Wrestling show was that a year ago. And we had less than 20 listeners for that episode, the initial episode, and now we're averaging three times that a year in. We've switched, to Block Talk Radio now with the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. And we've added Mike Prime and Danny Danger. So it's kind of like I didn't expect it to be here now. Blaze, your thoughts on where you thought we were going to be a year from, a year ago later?
Where I thought we would be? I don't know, man. It started off with just trying to figure out a name for the show and a Twitter handle. And that's how we settled on FOW and FOW Radio. Cause that's what was available. And then from that, it started off kind of just being a way to vent. Cause we always have frustrations with WWE product and, just wanting to kind of just spout off about why they suck at certain things and creative doesn't know how to do their job and stuff like that. And then we started going to AWE shows and actually had something live to talk about and, something local. And that just kind of just kept growing from that.
Yeah. So it was definitely, something that I never thought I'd do just because I'm not the kind of person that likes to talk in public. So the fact that I'm doing a podcast is, definitely out of my comfort zone.
Now, some would say that the point at which the show really fell into its stride and started taking off is when you added Mike Prime to the lineup. I'm just kind of curious, like, what brought you to that place? What influenced that decision to kind of bring him on board with the team?
I think that just gave us another voice because I needed another voice. So you serve your purpose, Mike Prime.
Our third voice was initially supposed to be Ryan, but as we all know, Ryan is a ghost who barely ever appears.
Ryan doesn't exist. Ryan is a social media construct that Patrick runs and operates to create the illusion that he's a real person.
Yeah. I actually had a question for Patrick. Now, Patrick, we know you like to do and talk about wrestling and podcasting, but tell us about the real Patrick Alvarez. What does Patrick Alvarez like to do not involving wrestling?
Like, do fans really know the real Patrick Alvarez, or are we getting a full picture of who Patrick Alvarez is? Or if you weren't doing a wrestling podcast, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't doing a wrestling podcast, I would probably be sleeping more. That's about the only thing.
That's the right answer.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
The real Patrick watches like over 100 hours of TV every week.
Yeah, on average about, what, 5-7 hours of television a day, in addition to hosting this show and producing the show, or at least trying to produce the show. But enough about me, because nobody really cares.
I would like to say just that when you were talking about the reasons that you want to start doing the show, you were kind of echoing a lot of the same reasons that I started my little meetup group. That is how I met you and Dan and all you guys. And it was that I didn't have anybody in my life to talk about wrestling with. I didn't have anybody in my life that was a wrestling fan like I was, or really a wrestling fan at all. And I wanted to enjoy my favorite pastime with other people. And it's been close to 2 years now since then. And there's dozens of people in my life now that are all huge wrestling fans. And I talk about wrestling all the time, every day. And sometimes it's way too much. But the side effect of all that is that now there's a ton of people in my life who actually do things, who have ideas and actually pursue them and follow them and create things from nothing. I used to have a ton of people in my life who would have a great idea and never follow up on it. And I like to commend you and Blaze and everybody that's involved with FOW on actually creating, having an idea and then actually pursuing it and creating something. And I'm very pleased to have people like that in my life now. So thank you very much for starting FOW Radio. Thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Definitely. Thank you for that. I'm glad that, you all are a part of the team, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing just all that we can do together and take fans of wrestling further and, make it something special that people really enjoy. And with that, let's talk about wrestling, because that's why people are listening, or we're hoping that's what they're listening. And to get started, we have a special event for Madison Square Garden Live on WWE Network this Saturday night, and is going to be headlined by Brock Lesnar versus Big Show. Now, guys, let's go over the card. Give me your thoughts. First, we're going to see Randy Orton versus Sheamus for like the 2000th time. Absolutely. If you're going to put a big card in Madison Square Garden, you got to put those two guys together. Blaze, what are your thoughts on this match?
Boo! Boo!
All right. In danger? Are you excited to see this most anticipated rematch in Madison Square Garden history?
Well, the record's like 2000 to 2000 now, so this is like the rubber match. I mean, this is going to be huge.
Prime, I'm sure that you are salivating at seeing just what these two guys can bring in the ring.
Yeah, here's the thing, Patrick. I mean, there have been some amazing rivalries in the history of pro wrestling. There's Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, and there's The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And now in our day and age, we now have Sheamus and Randy Orton. And I think that every time these guys step in the ring, they're building the mythology that is this rivalry. And, I don't know what they're going to do in Madison Square Garden, but I think that we're all waiting with bated breath to see this next match between these two titans of our age.
Speaking of matches we've seen many a times or are tired of watching, we're also going to get Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev, because, darn it, we don't get enough of that.
This is sounding less like a special and more just like a Raw. Usual. It's just a usual.
To me, it feels like I'm going to the dentist, and it's going to be in a very unpleasant time. It's just the way I see it.
Yeah, it could be just, I guess it's good that we'll be there with a room full of people instead of watching it by ourselves, chewing our fingers off or something.
Yeah, Blaze, are you excited to see this match that we just saw at the last network special
that we just saw at the last like 5 months? No.
I hope they do with these two matches first and get them out of the way, personally. So let's talk about matches that are actually going to be exciting. And I want to get Prime's thoughts on this one first. The New Day versus the Dudley Boys for the tag team titles. What are your thoughts? Are we going to see the title change in New York?
Maybe, I guess. I'm thinking back to the last network special, the Beast in the East special, and I don't think we really knew what to make of it going in. I think you and I probably talked about it on the show that like I didn't know what to make of it. What is this supposed to be? And the reality is that it's a televised house show. It's a promoted, televised house show. And so we got a Brock Lesnar match, but it was against an opponent that, you know, didn't really matter. And we got, you know, a weird tag team house show main event with Kane and John Cena and Dolph Ziggler and kind of a weird match. But we did get that NXT title change between Balor and Owens. And so I guess I don't know if this tag title match is going to be is it going to be like that weird main event from Beast in the East where it's just sort of a house show match that they're putting on the show, in which case I don't think there's going to be a title change. It'll just be another kind of a cool match between New Day and Dudley Boys. Or is it filling that NXT title spot on the card where it's the noteworthy thing that's happening from this show, that the news that will come out of this show, and it'll be a title change. And if it's that spot on the card, then it will be a tag team title change.
Blaze, what are your thoughts on this match?
I don't see how it's going to be that much more exciting than what we saw at the pay-per-view. It's going to be entertaining because it's the New Day and they know how to make people laugh, and you're going to have Xavier playing the trombone and doing silly things on the sideline, yelling out ridiculous stuff as a hype guy. It might even have a surprise. Maybe they'll bring out Spike from his job as a lawyer or whatever, and have him make an appearance just to try to balance out the numbers. Who knows? But it doesn't matter how it shakes out. It's not going to really surprise me, but it will probably be entertaining.
And with that, now, do we think that, you know, with Dudley's being in like one of their hometowns, Danny, do you think that make a difference, a reason for them to win the titles?
I don't think so. WWE has a thing where they kind of like to make people lose in their hometown. So I think that it's going to end similarly to the last live event pay-per-view special. The New Day does something in order to cheat and retain the belts. I think it's going to end up – it has to end up in a tables match, and I think that's where the Dudleys are going to win the titles from the New Day.
Yeah, I think if anything, it's going to be entertaining. I don't know about you guys, but just the whole thing with Xavier Woods and the trombone has been hilarious. And, you know, he's been bringing it to live events as well and just having so much fun with it. Sometimes it's more entertaining than what's going on in the match. And to me, it's just super entertaining. So it'll be good regardless of what the outcome is. Now, next, we're going to have Kevin Owens defending the Intercontinental title versus Chris Jericho. It was a very special night for Jericho because it's, he's celebrating another year of wrestling on that exact date, I believe. So, how cool is that? You know, Jericho and Owens are going to get to work together. Just the fact that Jericho's coming back, you know, for a short term and working with these guys. And this is a matchup that intrigues me. Now, Blaze, You're a big fan of Kevin Owens. You're, of course, a fan of Jericho. What are your thoughts on this match? And does it excite you to see it? Does it make it more special?
Honestly, to me, I think this would probably be the match of the night. Just because Jericho can still perform at a high level. I think Kevin Owens is going to come out the winner. But Jericho, unlike a certain John Cena, knows how to help put young guys over. You know, and so I think that's going to really be you know, fun to watch to see what kind of finish they're going to come up with for this match. It kind of looked like in Jericho's last appearance when he came out in that tag match that it kind of looked like when he walked away from the Shield guys that he was a little heelish, you know, so that'll be an interesting dynamic because Kevin Owens is definitely a heel. So, you know, is it going to be superstar, rock star Chris Jericho, or is it going to be snarky, you know, I don't really care Jericho? You know, either way, I'll be entertained because Jericho is always awesome, whether he's good or bad. But I just think it's going to be fun to watch, and this is the match that I'm looking forward to the most.
And Danny, what is your level of excitement for this match?
Well, I'm a big Kevin Owens fan, and Jericho, of course, is always great. I mean, he's been great for 25 years, I think, as the anniversary. I mean, back if you've ever seen the match with him and Lance Storm as the Thrill Seekers and Smoky Mountain, where he wrestled with a broken arm, it's crazy stuff. The guy's amazing. But I'm curious if they're going to give Jericho the Intercontinental title. I don't know how long he's going to hang around. I don't know if they're going to make him the 10-time Intercontinental champion, or they're going to help try to push Owens by having him beat Jericho. So I'm intrigued to see which direction they go with it. I hope it stays with Owens. I think he's got a lot more to do. With the belt, he just won it recently. I think his character needs it to kind of push him forward. But either, yeah, like Blaze said, either way, it's probably going to be match of the night.
Prime, do you agree?
I think it's going to be definitely a great match. I'm thinking back to the Jericho Neville match at Beast in the East. I mean, it was an excellent match, but it wasn't something that I don't think that everything on these network specials is meant to like impact current storylines. So I don't know that I see Jericho picking up the IC title out of this. I don't really have any thoughts on who will and won't win because I don't really think that this match is meant to be like canon. Like it's not meant to like have a huge effect on the current storyline. So I don't know who's going to win and who's going to lose, but I don't think that we're really going to be talking much about it after this show. I think this is kind of an exhibition for this particular event, which is kind of what Jericho's been doing, you know, for some time now anyway.
Yeah. Well, next,
before we move on, have they even said if is the title on the line?
That's what I hear.
I
wouldn't have been surprised for it to be non-title.
And with that, the next match I'm expecting to see, but I don't know if any indication from the Japan show where they basically advertised, you know, Brock Lesnar as the main event. They didn't put him in the main event, so let's talk about that one. Brock Lesnar versus the Big Show.
Big Show, seriously.
Boo.
Oh, man. Like, I mean, Big Show, it's something we've seen a whole lot. Like, I understand they want somebody to help build Brock up, so you go, oh yeah, he can beat the crap out of a dude that big, you know. How's the Undertaker going to be matched for him? Like, I understand it, but at the same time, like, nobody cares about the Big Show. Like, he's just kind of done. He's just kind of done what he needs to do, and I don't think he needs to be at that top level anymore.
Mm-mm, not at all.
What are your thoughts about that, Prime?
I don't know that this is a sign that they think Big Show is on the top level, because, I mean, at Beast in the East, it was another network special that was based around and branded around Brock Lesnar being on the show, and they had him work a squash match with Kofi Kingston. I mean, that wasn't them saying, oh, man, Kofi is at the top of his game, Kofi is at the top of the card, let's put him in there with, you know, let's have him face Lesnar. I just think this is kind of a non-canon sort of show. It's not a pay-per-view. It's not part of the weekly. It's not a weekly TV show. I think that they're putting him in there. I don't know why. I think Brock Lesnar, I think, in terms of total matches, has faced Big Show more than anybody else in his career, so it's not like something we haven't seen before. I was kind of wondering why Cesaro's not in that spot. Because if the network specials is a chance to, like, see interesting matchups like Jericho-Neville and, you know, New Day and Lesnar or whatever, and just kind of weird stuff we're not going to see other places and only on the network, then why not put a guy like Cesaro in there? If they're not going to push Cesaro as a main event guy and build him up to face a Brock Lesnar, why not just give us the match in one of these network specials? So if they're not going to, then I wonder what's the reason why. Is it that they do want to build him up and eventually have him face a guy like Lesnar? Is it a match that they don't want to give away in a $9.99 network special? Well, if that's the case, then why are you jobbing him out to the Big Show on TV? So I don't really understand the reasoning. I think anytime Brock Lesnar comes out to the ring, it's entertaining. So I mean, I'm obviously gonna watch the show, and I'm probably gonna have a good time. But no, I mean, him facing the Big Show isn't like, it's not intriguing me or anything. I mean, I think the last time he faced the Big Show, he just demolished him with a chair and left him lying in the ring. So why should I believe now that because Big Show beat Cesaro, that he's, you know, gonna demolish Brock Lesnar now? It's, I don't know. It's a Brock Lesnar match. I'm not gonna complain about it, but it's not particularly intriguing.
And with that, I have the thought of last Monday where they booked him against Mark Henry and just basically made Mark Henry, the strongest man in the world, just look like a jobber, basically. And with that, Blaze, do you think that this match is really as hyped up? Or do you believe that the Big Show is really the opponent to basically make Brock Lesnar actually feel challenged?
Not at all. I honestly feel like, and Prime alluded to it, the guy that they should have been building up was Cesaro. Instead, they took away all of Cesaro's steam. He had been building up a lot of steam, had the fans on his side, and then they shoved him in a feud with Big Show to build up Big Show for this Lesnar match, as if Big Show needed to be built up. That doesn't make any sense. Like, people know who Big Show is. People know what he's about. He's a giant. Who cares? We don't need him to job out a guy that we like to prove that he's a monster so that he could look good for Brock Lesnar. Instead, they should be letting Cesaro prove his strength and his mettle as a wrestler against Big Show to prove that he's capable of going against someone like a Brock Lesnar. But, you know, as we've already established, WWE Creative is smoking some really jacked up, strung out stuff, and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I definitely think that this match doesn't really sound like the most exciting thing, and it shouldn't be the main event, and it probably will not be. It made me feel like, okay, you have Brock Lesnar, that's special, but then you put the Big Show, who really hasn't been that important or relevant in the last few years, except for the fact that he cries every time he's a babyface, and he seems to turn every other month.
Before we move on, I'm wondering, I just had this thought. I wonder if we're, it maybe it's possible we're looking at this the wrong way, because I'm thinking back to the first network special, The Beast in the East, and I'm looking through that card, and like, just about the only noteworthy thing that happened on that show from a storyline perspective was the NXT title change. That was the only thing that like kind of carried forward. Like, they never really referenced Lesnar versus the New Day. They never really referenced that thrown together tag team main event, or Jericho Neville didn't really talked about, but like, Balor is still the NXT champion. So the only thing that like was canon that is carried forward from that show is that NXT title change. So maybe like, did they do that on that show to build up interest to see Brock Lesnar? Or is Brock Lesnar on that card so that more people would see the NXT title change? So, I don't know. Maybe the point of this show isn't... Maybe there's something else that's going to happen on this card that Brock Lesnar is on the show so that more people see it, so that we see the other thing that's going to happen on the card. Maybe Jericho is going to become IC champion, or maybe this is to bring more eyes to the tag team title change. Maybe just something else is going to happen that we're not really thinking about. And that's why Lesnar is there, and in that case, it doesn't really matter who he's facing, because he's not the point of the show. He's there to bring the eyeballs so we see something else happen.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll find out on Saturday. Next, what will most likely be the main event of the evening, we'll have John Cena challenging or defending the United States title versus Seth Rollins. Of course, I think by making this a U.S. title match and not a world title match would keep us to believe that John Cena would most likely win this match, because I don't think they're going to give Rollins both titles. Prime, your thoughts about this steel cage match?
I don't know. I think that again, it's a televised house show. You know, there's matches that they do at a bunch of house shows as they go around that aren't necessarily, you know, house shows aren't canon. So like Cena and Rollins may face each other like several times a week at these house shows, you know, and they're working a TV storyline, but like it just blew, you know, maybe it just blew off, but like they're still wrestling house show matches or something like that. So maybe that's what's going on. They're just, Rollins and Cena are still working each other on the house show tour and they needed to make it somewhat interesting. So they threw a steel cage around it. I could see it being something like that. That's just kind of the card they're taking around to the house shows right now. Cage matches are always fun. You know, Rollins always does some cool stuff. And I think Cena and Rollins have really good chemistry together. So I'm sure it's going to be a fun match, but it probably doesn't need to be like a 20-minute marathon or anything. Like they could probably do this in like 10-15 and give us a couple of cool spots and be on with it.
And Danny, are you excited about this main event and steel cage match?
I think it's kind of strange that they're doing a steel cage match so close to the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view. To me, that seems a little odd. I don't. They're very similar, you know. I don't know. I mean, like the match is going to be good. Like Prime said, they have good chemistry. They're both good. They're both, you know, good at what they do. And Cage is going to add some extra stuff that they have that we haven't seen them do on TV yet. But it still just feels odd that they're having them wrestle inside a cage, you know, just a few weeks shy of their pay-per-view that's essentially centered around Cage matches.
Well, it is, you know, Madison Square Garden, and they do have a history of putting cage matches there, you know. So maybe that may have something to do with it. Just that's what they like to do when they do go there.
Yeah, maybe so.
Blaze, what about you? Are you excited about John Cena versus Seth Rollins?
Yes and no. Yes, I think it'll be a fun match. Probably the second best match. It wouldn't surprise me if it winds up being better than the Jericho match. But being that we've seen these two guys fight each other a bunch of times in the past couple months, it's not going to be like, it's nothing new. You know, like seeing Owens and Jericho is new, so it's going to have like a kind of fresh feeling. This isn't going to really be fresh, but it's still going to be entertaining. It's going to be high action. But also, I'm not too excited because I'm pretty sure John Cena is going to win.
Yeah, he is.
Because, you know, he only has 3 clean losses all year.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be a fun show nonetheless. You know, it'll be a glorified house show, and Brock Lesnar will be there. Now, speaking of house shows, the next day we're actually going to have available on pay-per-view Bound for Glory, TNA's biggest show of the year, and possibly their last show ever, because as of right now, there's nothing taped for after Sunday. So, some of the highlights, we have the Ultimate X match, which to me is always one of the funner matches. Tigre Unos defending the title versus Andrew Everett, who I'm excited to see. DJ Z and Manic. That ought to be a entertaining match. I've always liked the Ultimate X matches. I think that, to me, the Ultimate X the X Division has always been the most exciting thing that TNA's come up with. And that's, you know, they don't really come up with that many things.
The X Division was essentially what TNA was like founded on. That's what people noticed them for in the early days. You know, you had AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn and Loki, and then you had Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe, and that's why people tuned in to TNA, because they wanted to see the X Division matches, the X Division title matches. I mean, like, that's, you know, you talk about like TNA in the early years, people don't talk about Ron Killings being their heavyweight champion. They don't talk about Ken Shamrock being the first NWA champion in the TNA era. They talk about the X Division matches. They talk about the X Division feuds. And even when it got to the tag teams were big, they were still like X Division style tag teams.
Emergency Machine Guns. Love those.
Oh, guys. Yeah, the machine guns. But, I mean, you look at Triple X and even, like, Triple X versus AMW and stuff. I mean, these were – this was kind of like an X Division just in a tag team format. So, I mean, that's like they've been their bread and butter since day one. So any time that they can feature the X Division is their best bet. I mean, they should do that.
And so the next match that we have coming up will be a match I'm actually looking forward to. The Wolves defending the TNA Tag Team titles against Trevor Lee and Brian Myers, formerly known as Kurt Hawkins. This match ought to be exciting. Danny, so what are your thoughts on this match? And, you know, the Wolves are fun anytime they're out there, so we know we'll get a great match.
The Wolves are fantastic. They've been best of friends, worst of enemies for years. They always put on a good match when they're in the ring. On the same side is fantastic. The double team combos are on point. Trevor Lee and Brian Myers, I like both guys. They don't have as much experience as a tag team, but they do have the heart. And Trevor Lee is pretty much a maniac. He's you know, the Carolina Caveman. The guy can deadlift people, and then he can go diving and do flips over the top rope. He's an unusual specimen, especially so young at age. It's going to be a fantastic match. It's going to be a fun match. I hope the whole show is really just a really solid show. That's what TNA needs.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to book a real solid show. But with that, you know, we're going to get the Knockouts, a Knockouts championship match, and I think this is probably if you're going to put out a great show and you're going to put the best possible people out there, it doesn't get any better from with Gail Kim defending her title against Awesome Kong, because the two of them have been the most consistently best Knockouts in that division. So with that, Blaze, your thoughts, and you know, do you think that we're going to see just another great match between these two girls?
I don't know, man. It's an interesting, unique matchup just to think about, because I always think about Awesome Kong. She's just so big, strong, and brutal. Like, she's kind of like the chubby black version of China. And then you got her going against Gail Kim, who's like the long, skinny Asian female Benoit, like the technical, like, master of women. But if I were booking it, I would just have Awesome Kong beat the crap out of it just for giggles. But it'll be fun.
Prime, what do you think about the Knockouts match?
I think that Kong is interesting because you kind of book her the same way that they booked the Big Show. You kind of can do similar storylines, and it's always interesting to see. It's interesting to see that dynamic applied to women's wrestling, because I can't think of another time where we've really gotten to see that, of like giant woman that dwarfs her opponent, and then how does that storyline play out in the ring? So it's an interesting dynamic. You know, with the right technical wrestler, Big Show is entertaining in a match where it's kind of like the smaller person chopping down the tree. So as long as the match tells a clear story in the ring, I'll enjoy watching it. But I think just Kong is interesting. She brings something to women's wrestling that no one else is really able to right now.
I am a big fan of Gail Kim, a big fan of Awesome Kong. See, I've also been a big fan of TNA. There was a time when I watched TNA and I didn't watch WWE. I watched TNA only. That was what I did. So when they started the Knockouts division, the first big feud in the Knockouts division was Gail Kim as the face champion defending against the invader of Awesome Kong. It was a strong match. They did five matches in their series. Every single one was fantastic because, like the reasons that Prime said, it was – you had the big, powerful, dominating Awesome Kong, and you had Gail Kim, who was the fighter from underneath. And she was, you know, she was using her technical skills. She was using high flying. She was using all different kinds of strategy to try to chop the tree down. Told a great story, and they had great matches. So I'm extremely confident that they can perform at that level, and they can still do that level. It's going to be, yet again, it's going to be another good match.
Yeah. So After that, we get a Bound for Gold gauntlet match for a future TNA World Heavyweight Championship match that may never happen. And the contestants are Abyss, Aiden O'Shea, Chris Melendez, Eli Drake, Jesse Goddard, Mahabali Shera, Mr. Anderson, Robbie E, and Tyrus. They're just booting everybody else that didn't get a match in the card and just put them in there.
Yeah.
It's TNA's version of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Everybody on the show match.
To me, I think, you know, if you want to go out with a happy story, I think Chris Melendez is the guy who will win this, you know, with the whole story of the leg and, you know, his service. And I think that him winning this, you know, gives him a feel good story to end with and, you know, build to it. If they do something with this in the future, I could see him as a contender for the title. So,
well, it's like, which face do they want to have face Ethan Carter? You know, which is the face in that match they want to have wrestle against Ethan Carter, and I think Melendez is probably a strong choice.
Yeah,
it's Ken Anderson. That's who they want. I mean, it's Melendez is a close second, but I'm pretty sure Ken Anderson's going to win.
Blaze, any thoughts on who you think would win this gauntlet match?
Not really.
All right. Well, moving on, we get a singles match. Kurt Angle comes back to wrestle for the first time since his latest injury, and he's going to face one Eric Young.
Eric Young has been around TNA early days, tag team champion. Just going to think, yeah, he's always been a top level performer, but they've always kind of moved him up and down the card. It's very unusual, but he and Angle they'll definitely be able to put on a good match, even with Angle getting a little older, a few more injuries, those kind of things. I think with Eric Young, he can still put on a good match.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's a solid guy that, you know, won't hurt Kurt, you know, will make sure he takes care of him, because the last thing you want is for Kurt Angle to get hurt again. And you just want him to have a good, solid match back. You know, the thought about Eric Young, as I'm going back to his history, he is one of four wrestlers who have won the TNA's Grand Slam championships. And that's the names that he's with: Abyss, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles. Now, to think that you put him in that type of conversation, it's kind of like, wow, you know, for a guy that, you know, most of his wrestling career, you know, looked like, you know, not a joke, but, you know,
he was kind of a comedy wrestler for right. a long time, but he's been everything, though. He's been a comedy wrestler. Then he was like the leader of the bad guys who are like anti-America and stuff. Right. I mean, he's literally done everything. He's been every role that you can be in a wrestling company.
Yeah, I mean, he was even TNA's version of Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan was at his peak. So when they needed a bearded guy to be the underdog, he did it. And I think that, yeah, he's the little, you know, that one guy that they could always rely on. So it's kind of like, you know, good for him. I think this will be a good match. Prime, you're excited to see Kurt Angle versus Eric Young?
Yeah, you know, I think EY's had a ton of longevity. I think he's a great talent. He's the kind of guy that WWE was never going to hire, but that didn't mean he didn't have anything to offer. And I think TNA gave him a place where he could kind of unpack what he had in the toolbox.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all that. He's just, you know, but, you know, it'll be a solid match for sure. The next match will be Bobby Roode against Lashley, defending the King of the Mountain Championship, which formerly known as the television title, formerly known as the Legends title, Danny Danger.
That hideous red belt.
What do you think about this match? I mean, they're giving. I like the matchup, Bobby Roode and Lashley, but they're fighting for a title that, in the eye of the fans, really doesn't mean much.
Yeah, I mean the belt's pretty meaningless. It really is. They've just kept it around. I don't know why. It's hideous. I don't like it. But Bobby Roode's great. He's a phenomenal competitor. He's been with TNA. He's pretty much like one of their almost day one type guys. He and Eric Young actually were tag team champions together. First titles they ever won as part of Team Canada. So I'm a big, big Bobby Roode fan. All up and down. I mean, Beer Money, all that stuff is fantastic. I've never been a fan of Lashley. Didn't like him in WWE. Haven't really enjoyed any of his stuff in TNA. He's not even really that good of a mixed martial artist. They just kind of feed schlubs to him. But I think Bobby Roode can definitely do something, and it'll be a good match. Yet again, the outcome is kind of inconsequential because the title's kind of meaningless. But I think Bobby Roode can definitely do something.
Yeah, I like both of these guys. I've always thought of Bobby Roode as kind of TNA's version of Randy Orton. He's kind of that strong technician in the ring, can work with anybody, has done a lot of cool stuff. He's been a face, he's been a heel, he's been a champion, he's been in tag teams, he's done it all. Kind of rely on him to work with anybody they need him to. Lashley, he's been doing some cool stuff in TNA. Really glad that he's found his feet after the BDC kind of went by the wayside. I don't know why they're keeping this title belt around. I don't know if it's just supposed to be the new TV championship or it's just an extra belt in the mid card. I don't know. I'm sure the match is going to be good though. I'm sure it's going to be entertaining. I don't particularly care who wins because I don't really care about that belt. I think that belt is somewhat meaningless, so it doesn't really add a lot of intensity to the matchup. But both these guys are great workers, and I'm sure it's going to be a good match.
Yeah, I think they brought this belt basically for one of the reasons why they were able to convince Jeff Jarrett to come back for a brief moment and join their Hall of Fame after AJ turned him down. So I think that was the last thing that they used as leverage to get Jeff to come back.
To let him do another King of the Mountain match, yeah.
Basically, because it was something that meant the world to Jeff Jarrett. And with that, we get the main event. Ethan Carter III will defend his title in a triple threat match versus Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy. And Jeff Hardy will be the special guest referee. Mike Blaze, if you had to guess who was going to win this match, who would you pick?
I would stick with the champ. Ethan's pretty good.
Absolutely. Mike Prime, your thoughts on this main event?
Yeah, they're not going to make a title change here. That's not really what this match is about. This is a story match. That's the point of having Jeff Hardy as the special guest referee. This match will come down to some kind of a moment with Ethan, with Jeff Hardy, and it'll play into the storyline they've been playing out on TV. That's what this match is going to be. Drew and Matt, I think, are just there to do the work. But this is a storyline progression match. It's not a capstone match or anything. But it's going to be really good. Ethan Carter III is one. I mean, he's probably the best thing in TNA. Drew Galloway, I think if I was going to cut the TNA roster down to like 10 guys and kind of try to rebuild from there, which I think they should do, Drew Galloway would be in one of the 10. And Matt Hardy, he's been a part of this ongoing storyline. He's fine. If you want to make this a triple threat, he's a good guy to have in there. He's related to the story through Jeff Hardy. So he'll hold up his end of it. I think Ethan and Drew will and should be the stars of this match though.
Absolutely. I think that this match really should solidify Ethan Carter's reign, just that he's their main guy. He's their top guy, and he's the best thing they've got. Danny Danger, do you think we'll see a turn here?
I don't think we'll see a turn. I don't think we'll see a title change. I think like Prime stated, it's a match that is going to be more about the storyline progression. It's going to be a good match. There's everybody in there is excellent. It's going to be more about the last few minutes, and does Jeff count the pinfall when Ethan goes to pin, or does he side, Matt Hardy's got Ethan down. Does he count for his brother, even though he's supposed to be helping Ethan? I mean, it's going to come down to that. It's going to come down to a,
to a storyline kind of standoff thing as opposed to a solid match. But I mean, it'll happen with some way. Ethan's going to keep it, and Jeff Hardy's going to, you know, gun for him if storylines continue.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see where that goes and where TNA goes. I mean, they still have international TV deals. Supposedly, they have a deal with Destination America through the end of 2015. But again, they have nothing taped unless they decide to do best of for the rest of the year, which...
That's one of the things I've heard, do a best of the X Division, a best of, you know, this person in TNA kind of thing. I mean, I don't think the ratings will do that well if you just show a bunch of, you know, clip shows, basically. But it's, you know, who knows?
The ratings aren't doing well anyway, so might as well, right?
Well, yeah.
You know. All right, well, let's talk about a show that's actually going to be exciting, and that is
Total Divas
Takeover Respect. That's going to happen on Wednesday, October 7th on the WWE Network. All right, so we're going to have the semifinals and finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which if anyone listening, sorry to spoil it if you haven't watched NXT yet. But we're going to see in the semifinals Finn Balor and Samoa Joe versus The Mechanics, and Jason Jordan and Chad Gable versus Baron Corbin and Rhino. Mike Prime, who do you see as the two finalists, and who do you pick as the winner?
It's just tough because, like, they're all interesting teams. This has been a really, really strong tag tournament. With really interesting teams, and part of me wonders, is this just going to go to, like, a finish and a final match, and, like, they're all legit matches and everything, or is, like, at the very end of this going to be some big storyline thing? Like, does this end with, like, Finn getting to the end and then he turns heel or something like that? Like, is that where this is going, or is this just going to be sort of a straight tag tournament, or are there storyline ramifications here? I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things where I don't really care who wins. I kind of want to see it through to the end. Like, I'm enjoying everything that's happening along the way.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we'll see Balor and Joe in the finals and probably defeating Corbin and Rhino. It's one of my two. The other possible one, it could be Samoa Joe turning on Finn Balor and Corbin and Rhino winning. That's the two ways I see it.
I think you're wrong. I think
he's wrong too.
What do you think you're gonna see, Blaze?
Vice versa, right?
I'm going Gable and Jordan. They're one of the few that's. You got two teams in the final four that are left that are actual teams. One's the Mechanics, and the other is Gable and Jordan. Rhino and Baron Corbin were just thrown together for this. It doesn't make sense for them to win. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor are both like their top two singles guys, so. I don't think they're going to win. I think it would be a great push for Gable and Jordan. They come out against Rhino and Baron. They win that match. And then maybe you have they're the underdogs going against Joe and Balor. And then you have maybe a swerve by Joe that allows Gable and Jordan to win.
Yeah. How about you, Prime?
Why are we thinking Joe is going to turn instead of Balor? I think that they're kind of telegraphing Balor about getting ready to turn heel.
I think it would be Joe because Balor has a title that Joe wants. To me, it just makes sense that way.
I don't know, man. I think that they're really teasing Balor turning heel, so I really see it going the other way. And I'm with you up in, like, I think we'll see probably Gable and Jordan together going up against Balor and Joe, but I think Balor's going to be the one that turns on Joe.
No, that doesn't matter. What really matters is that the winners of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Invitational are ready, willing, and Gable.
Good one there.
Did you guys see the idea that for Gable to debut on the main roster by messing with John Cena's towel?
Did not.
Like, Cena comes out and pulls the towel out, like, at the top.
And says Gable or whatever.
Says, like, ready, willing, and Gable. And then, like, he comes out and jumps him or something.
Nah, I never saw that. Wow.
That'd be funny. I'd do something like that. Well, next we get Apollo Crews versus Tyler Breeze. Mike Prime. Do you think this is better? I think it's going to be better for Cruz to go against somebody like Breeze.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that these are both, you know, there's a lot of fans behind both of these guys. I think that it's an interesting dynamic. I think that Cruz has kind of been highlighting his strength spots lately. That ridiculous, like, suplex escape from the submission hold thing that he did recently. I think that if he can do a lot of that stuff against Tyler Breeze, and Tyler has the kind of a move set where he can kind of dance around, he can avoid things, he can reverse things. So I think it's going to be some really cool spots, a really fun match. I'd be kind of just based on the track record, I'd be surprised if they put Breeze over Cruz. I think they kind of use Breeze as a guy to kind of get fans behind him, you know, just so that people want to see him, and then they kind of have him lose to the guy they're trying to build. I think that's why they give him the really cool entrances for all of the takeover specials, instead of a consolation, maybe.
I think what they're doing with Breeze actually is he feels like he's in a holding pattern, and his holding pattern is Hideo Itami. They like when Hideo Itami first went down with his injury, they kind of alluded to that it was that like Kevin Owens maybe had something to do with it. But since Kevin went to the main roster, they've now, if you follow like social media and stuff, Tyler Breeze and Hideo Itami have been making these kind of jabs at each other for months. So I think that Tyler Breeze is there, like you said, as a guy to help put other talent over. But he's really just kind of in a holding pattern waiting for Itami.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Now, the next match, we get a debut here in the ladies' division. So Asuka is going to be going against Dana Brooks. I don't know. I thought maybe Emma would be a better opponent for her debut match. What do you guys think? Mike Blaze.
I don't think it really matters. Dana isn't terrible. I like Emma better, but, you know, everybody's familiar with Emma. You know, she had a pretty long run on the main roster. You know, of course, her personality's changed since then. So I think it's a good opportunity to let Dana get some more shine, let her continue to develop. You don't really need to develop Emma much more other than personality. But I think this is a good spot for Dana, and I think it'll be an interesting match.
And I think so, too. I think it'll be fun, and I think it brings something new to the women's division with all of these girls going to the main roster, which brings us down to the main event, the 30-minute Iron Woman match for the NXT title, where Bayley defends against Sasha Banks. I think that this match is going to blow the place off the roof, the best match of the night. Danny Danger, what do you expect out of these two in 30 minutes of it's going to be amazing.
Awesome. 30 minutes of awesome. This is going to be fantastic. It was the best thing, not just about Bayley and Sasha Banks and their match. The work rate was good, but it was the storytelling. It was like a culmination of like, you know, almost 2 years of storytelling of Bayley trying to rise up and climb to the top and Sasha just kicking her down. You know, I mean, this match here is going to be different because it's going to be more about the work rate and less about the story, but it's going to be fantastic. It's easily going to be a match of the year candidate.
Absolutely. And Mike Prime, your thoughts on this main event, and you know, are we going to see a much better match than the one we saw at Brooklyn? Cause that was hard to top.
We're going to see a different match. It's going to tell a different story. I don't think that we're going to see, Sasha attempt to just sort of ragdolling Bayley or you know, kind of having her way with her. I think that we're going to see Sasha take Bayley seriously. We're going to see her, well, with a little respect, I think. And it's going to tell a different story, the way that Sasha approaches the match, maybe the confidence that Bayley walks into the ring with. And so it's going to be different. It's a different match stipulation. It's going to be a longer match. There's going to be a number of falls. So it's going to – it's not – I don't know – rather than thinking about whether or not it's going to top it, it's going to be a different match. So the question is it going to be as good for what it is? And I think it, at least it's going to be as good. The Iron Man matches are a different – it's a different beast from one fall to a finish. And I'm really excited that there's a couple of girls who have proven themselves worthy of being given the opportunity.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a great match. It's going to be a great show. So I'm actually excited to see that one. And that'll be this Wednesday on the WWE Network. Now, before we do go, I want to just bring up these local Atlanta wrestling entertainment show that we're going to be watching on Sunday. It's called Destination Action. And we're getting a pretty good card here. And just your thoughts on a couple of these matches. First, we get Chip Day versus Shane Strickland, part two. And these guys did a lot on their first match, a lot of high expectations. What do you think we're going to get out of this, Prime?
I think we're going to get an amazing match. The opening match with between the two of them was a barn burner. I mean, it was a heck of a way to start off that show that they were on. You know, things have changed in AWE since that match. Chip has a very different attitude. So this match is going to probably tell a different story, be a different dynamic. Maybe the hierarchy gets involved, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they end up brawling in the seats with us. You know, maybe weapons get involved. Who knows? But I mean, you know, I'm going to be front row ringside, ready to see that match.
And how about you, Blaze? Are you excited about seeing them go at it again?
Heck yeah, man. That was the last time they fought. It was by far the most entertaining match of the day. And definitely one of the most entertaining matches that they've had in their entire run since they started last September. I don't see any reason why any fan who was at the last match wouldn't be excited about the rematch.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And next, we get Cedric Alexander back at the Quad, and he'll be welcoming in the King of Taunts, the product David Starr. Danny Danger, what are your thoughts on David Starr and what he and Cedric can do together?
David Starr, friend of the show, mind you. Check out our interview we did with David Starr. It's quite fun. They will be able to do a lot of good things together. Both men are, you know, at the top tier of the independent level as far as breakout stars, as far as the guys that anywhere they go, they're making big noise. This match is – no qualms that this is going to be a fantastic match.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, this right now is my pick for match of the night. And I think that we will get, you know, just a fantastic match. And these two guys, we know what they can do on their own right, are fantastic wrestlers, two of the best in the country. And I think that, you know, they're coming to Atlanta, and we're grateful for it, because otherwise we had to travel at least 5 hours to go see these guys otherwise. Then we're also going to get the Lady and Gentleman of Roar, as Dementia De Rose is going 1-on-1 against Ashton Starr. Mike Prime.
Dementia is no lady and Ashton is no gentleman, so I don't know who you're talking about. But, you know, these Roar matches at these AWE shows they're highly entertaining. They're all hardcore rules. They're all intergender now. Who knows what's going to happen? If I'm Ashton Starr, then I got to come up with something different to throw against Dementia, because what I've been doing so far has not been working. I've been getting tossed around like a rag doll. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means some foreign objects. I don't know if that means some kind of maybe thumbtacks. Who knows? I mean, there's no limit to these Roar matches now. So I mean, there's absolutely no telling, but if I'm Ashton Starr walking into this match, I know ahead of time I got to pull out all the stops.
Oh, definitely. And then we're also going to see the rest of the hierarchy in action with Murder One, Jimmy Rave, and Iceberg. Not sure who their opponents are going to be, but the hierarchy will be in the building, and there will be chaos. What are your thoughts about that, Mike Lace?
So I just want to say on the record, there is not a single match on this entire card that I'm not looking forward to watching. It's all going to be entertaining. Just from the matches that they've announced, everything looks like they are going balls to the wall to make sure this show is going to be a top-notch show, which is crazy because I thought the top-notch show was going to be the one that they're planning for the Masquerade. So I'm just amped. I want to get my ticket. I'm not even sure that I'm going to take photos. I kind of want to just go and just enjoy it.
Definitely. And Danny Danger, talk to us about your thoughts on the hierarchy, because you had a few conversations on Twitter with one Murder One.
I've had a few conversations on Twitter. Had a few conversations in public. Yeah, you know, he's murder being murder. Like I said, you know, he's murder being murder. He's loud. He cusses. He makes threats. You know, it's his thing. You know, it's fun to play the game sometimes. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it is. You know, I picked on him for you know, not being as in shape as he said Michael Cole was. So, you know, whatever. It's all good fun. It's all good fun. The guy's a jerk. You know, whatever. But yeah. Like Blaze said, man, it's every single AWE show, I've been to every single one they've had since April, and every single time you get your money's worth. Fun show. Every match is good. If you're not there, I don't know why. I don't know why.
Yeah, I definitely think it's just as chaos. There's can be very unpredictable, just the things that they do or say, so... it's definitely they're definitely gonna do something, and whatever it is, you know, and they always have part of the crowd that just that loves them, so it's gonna be interesting. Now, Mike Prime, any thoughts on, you think we'll see anybody new, or you just think three guys from the back will decide, hey, we want to challenge these guys?
I think that maybe me and Danny and you need to step up and finally put a stop to the hierarchy. I think that they got three of them headed out to the ring. We got three from FOW Radio, and then I think it's time that we have this showdown and finally put a stop to all this hierarchy business.
I don't know. We are not wrestlers. We are podcasters.
We need to invite them into our domain, and we have a podcast off where we podcast at each other until one of us can podcast no more. And I think we will come out on top.
I would say let them do their thing in the ring. We do our thing, you know, in our seats and just enjoy the show. Let them do. Put up a good show and let it be that, you know.
Well, I'll just say this, man. I think that there's a lot of people out there that say things like, "Well, you would never say stuff like that to any of their faces or anything." And I don't know where any of that's coming from, because me and Danny have both called out members of the hierarchy in person on multiple occasions. We have no fear whatsoever when they come out to the ring of getting involved, of shouting them down, of counteracting some of the hogwash they come out and start spewing into the microphones. So I don't know where that's coming from. Me and Danny step up to the hierarchy at almost every show.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be a fun show with these guys and the lineup that they have put together, and definitely looking forward to seeing what happens next with the Darkmon and Grizz, because those two are also on the path to destruction. I mean, every time that they faced each other, there's been chaos, and I just can't wait to see even more chaos. So that'll be here in Atlanta at the Quad on 4th and Spring at 4 p.m., and get your tickets now, AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com. Come check it out. It's going to be a really good afternoon of good wrestling, great wrestling that you don't really feel like, you know, at least we don't get as much here in this, you know, in Georgia, at least not that I've seen. So, yeah, with that, that's the show. Thanks, guys, for joining me for our 1 year anniversary show. So with that is the show for tonight. And guys, everyone listening, please make sure you follow us on Twitter. at FOW Radio for Fans of Wrestling. Mike Blaze is at M Brummagen. Mike Prime is at M Will 150. Danny Danger is on Twitter at Danny FN Danger. I'm at Twitter at Yellow Maniac. And make sure that you also subscribe iTunes, Stitcher, and Block Talk Radio for on the GWH Radio Network. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.